The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal the Father. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
Please be seated. From today's gospel reading, Jesus invites all who weary of the world to come and assures that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He says it two times in this fairly short text. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And then, in case you didn't hear it the first time, he says it again, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, these are probably pretty familiar verses to most of you. But I think it's an interesting time in our world to be considering rest. In March of 2020, we all experienced a certain kind of rest. But that was a rest tinged with constant worry. Staying at home, at first, to me, felt like a long vacation. And some of us experienced release from things like tightly packed schedules or long work commutes or social engagements for those of us who don't necessarily like to go out all the time. I thought that it was a great relief not to wear anything with a waistband for some years. It was a strange time and a stressful time, but also it was a time where we had the opportunity to reorient ourselves and to reconsider the way we lived our lives. And in fact, when businesses and churches and restaurants started to open up again, I heard from so many people that they just weren't sure how much they wanted to recommit to after that time of reconsideration. They wanted to keep some sense of that peace and rest that they at least had a little bit of during lockdown. I wholeheartedly support this idea. I think reorienting our lives is one of the best things we can do and is what Jesus is constantly calling us to do. In fact, one of the people I started to follow on social media during the COVID times was a woman named Tricia Hersey, who was known as the Nap Bishop. And she has what's called the Nap Ministry, in which she encourages people to take naps. And she says, rest is resistance. Rest is resistance to what we have in our American culture, which is constant strive to be productive, to do something. I think if we've learned only one thing from the last few years, I hope it's a clearer vision of how we want to spend our few precious years on this earth. And I hope it means more bread baking and more gardening and taking on more hobbies and, in fact, figuring out even newer ways to connect with one another through new technology. Amen? Okay, I want all the Zoom people right now to say amen. Those of you who are joining us on Zoom. Sabbath is good and holy. Time with family and friends, time to sleep and eat well is good and it's holy. Be still and know that I am God, says the Lord. But I wonder if this is really what Jesus is talking about in this scripture text. In fact, these verses that we heard today are preceded by some really difficult challenges to the crowds and to those who would be followers. First, Jesus speaks to the crowds about John and says, well, what did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? In other words, my message, says Jesus, is not all soft and comfortable. And then Jesus began to reproach the cities in which most of his deeds of power had been done because they did not repent. And he said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the deeds of power done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. These are strong words. And so I'm not exactly sure that these words, spoken a few moments later, were really encouraging the disciples to take a nap. Seems to me that the rest Jesus is talking about here is the rest that comes with repentance, with turning again towards God, and answering the call to discipleship. And that is not the same as inactivity. Rest is not the same as inactivity. The Reverend Dr. Alice McKenzie puts it this way, and I couldn't say it better, so I'm going to read you a long quote. To be told we can lay down our burdens sounds so sweet until we realize that in Jesus' eyes, many things we view as blessings are actually burdens. These would include, both in his time and ours, judging others, viewing oneself as occupying a superior position to others, and entitled to a more comfortable life with more material possessions, making a vocation of excluding and avoiding the unclean and the sinner, those on the bottom rung of the social ladder. To those who view those things as their birthright and most cherished possessions, to be required to divest oneself of them sounds like sacrifice. And it is. But it is on the way to a life of being forgiven, being refreshed, and being empowered to live with the humility, discernment, courage, and compassion. In other words, when we answer the call to discipleship, when we accept the invitation to take Jesus' yoke upon ourselves, we aren't only laying down a busy schedule or our worries about the future or anxieties or the weight of sins we've committed, although we always can lay those down at the feet of Jesus. Because we have a loving God, because we know Jesus crucified and risen, we know we are also able to lay down those other burdens, the huge burdens, which keep us and our neighbors from truly living a life of abundance and rest. Some of those burdens might be things that we don't even notice. They don't even feel heavy to us anymore. But certainly our neighbors do and feel them. I mean, I don't want to give you the whole list, but we could all name them. White supremacy, male privilege, transphobia, xenophobia of every kind, judgment of other people's life choices, or maybe their voting choices, or anything else that weighs on us and keeps us from realizing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And still, Jesus, who knows how hard this is for us, has carried the weight of our sins and has already loved us all the way to the cross. And he says again, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You will find rest for your souls. Now, those of you who have gotten to know me over the past year will not be surprised that I have never once used a sports analogy in a sermon. And if my wife were here, she would be right in the back row laughing out loud at the idea that I would use a sports analogy in a sermon. But there is a story that I wanted to tell today. And in fact, it's a story that I almost just told and sat down and said amen, because I think it's very fitting related to our gospel lesson today. Do any of you know the name Maya Moore, who was a WNBA star some years ago? Maya, at the height of her career, stepped away from basketball to help overturn the false conviction of a man she had met through a prison ministry she was involved in. The man's name was Jonathan Irons. When he was 16 years old, he was tried and convicted by an all-white jury for burglary and a shooting. And he always maintained his innocence, saying he had been wrongly identified in the lineup. Maya Moore met him during his prison ministry she was involved in and was so moved by his story, she decided she needed to do something. So she said, when I stepped away from basketball, I just really wanted to shift my priorities to be able to be more available and present to show up for things I felt were mattering more than being a professional athlete. And her efforts paid off. On the day that her friend Jonathan was released from prison, after his conviction was overturned, news crews were there and they captured this basketball player, Maya, falling to the ground at the feet of her friend. And she said, in that moment, I just really felt like I could rest. I mean, I've been standing and we've been standing for so long. It was a worshipful moment, dropping to my knees and being so thankful that we made it. Again, I almost just told that story and sat down because those words stuck with me. She said, I felt like I could rest. The struggle was long and hard. Not only for her, because she did something valiant, for Jonathan, who spent 22 years in prison, falsely convicted. But there's some gospel truth there, that when we follow Jesus, we do find rest for our souls. When we care for the orphan, the widow, the prisoner, the stranger, when we do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with our God, when we seek the Lord where he's found, when we pick up the cross that shows the love that God has for us, then that is when we find rest and when the world can find rest. Not all of us can overturn a false conviction or are in a position to challenge oppressive systems and authorities, but each of us is invited to take up the cross and to follow. And whether you're weighed down by the judgment of others, or abusive systems, or an unhealthy relationship, or depression, or anxiety, or anything else, know that our God has big shoulders. Amen? Our God has big shoulders and is ready to receive those burdens, but then most of all, to walk with us as we find true rest. Now, I do have to end the one sports story I have ever used in a sermon with an update, because I wanted to make sure I was remembering this story correctly. So I Googled it the other day and I found out that Maya and Jonathan got married.
Yeah.
And last summer they had a baby, Jonathan Irons Jr. Thanks be to God for a new life and for love and for the liberation of the world. Let us pray. God of mercy, help us to trust that your yoke is indeed easy and your burden is light. Guide us in the path to true rest for our souls. Guide us in the way of love, of mercy, of justice, speaking truth to power, of carrying the burdens of others, and of course, trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.